sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I want to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your lead in this hearing for you this morning, okay?
All right.
So, Mr. Gaston, could you just please state your full name, your ABC number for us for the record?
Bobby Joe Jr. Garrison, 37199.
Okay. So you have been certified by the Department of Corrections to come before this board for an absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You are currently serving a life sentence for murder.
Yes.
And you are became parole eligible on July 7th of 2002 is when you became eligible for parole on that sentence. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to your progress release, inmate release report, sir, it says that you have read some self-harm books on criminal behavior and social relationship, and you worked on improving yourself. It also says that you have some program that you have taken. The last program you have taken was in March 15th of 18, which was it's abbreviated on here, so I believe it was a toleration class that you actually took, some program you took there. Is that about right?
I have taken quite a few programs. I have taken criminal behavior. I did it on my own. But they don't, let me put it this way, I believe that the board's always had a problem with me. The reason being is because they asked me if I'd done criminal behavior, and around about way I did, but here lately I have done criminal behavior, addiction slash criminal behavior.
Okay.
Now, the thing is that what I said back before, I said that the Department of Corrections didn't teach criminal behavior. Well, in actuality, they don't have a program here called criminal behavior, okay?
Okay.
But they do have other programs that I teach around that. So I just want to clean that up.
All right. Okay, so then you haven't had any major discipline in the last 5 years, and it looks like the last discipline that you received since you've been in custody was back in, I believe it was
2007.
To 06 was the last major discipline you had, and that was for sexual assault. You were found guilty of a major in 2006. It's the last one that we have according to the Ames report that we have here, sir. Okay, and currently you are 68 years old, sir?
68.
Okay. So we do have, before this board, several times, and it looks like that in 1998, you were went before the board for an unknown hearing that was denied. In 2008, you had a hearing that was continued. However, since 2002, you appeared before this board 32, looks like about 32 times. Each one of those times, it was denied. Is that kind of proving me right to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm going to go over some of the information that involved this incident, and then I'm going to come to you, sir, and let you give us some information about what occurred in that period of time and what was exactly going on with you in your life and your own words, okay? According to the pre-sentence report, this is an incident that occurred on October 24, 1976. The officers were called out to a scene where they found a nude body of a female in her early 20s, which had apparently been rolled out and abandoned on the west bank of the Potomac Waters. The body had become entangled in a small bush about halfway down. When the officers arrived, they observed that the victim's hands were tied in her, tied with a brassiere, and it was tied around her mouth to form a gag. The medical examiner examined the body, found the victim's abrasions, and found that the victim's body and teeth marks were noted on her right breast. Said that she basically died, attributed to fixation, that she actually died from. According to family members of the victim, she was last seen earlier that day and in the evening about 8:30 p.m. and she had told them that she was going to visit several bars in the area. According to some witnesses, they observed her leave the bar at approximately 11 p.m. With the victim. Says that the victim was out and carried out of the bar since she was wobbling and did not appear to be able to stand. That was the information. Subsequently from that, you were identified in a photo lineup and the officers came out and arrested you. After you were arrested, the first story that the police said that you told them that you directed the detectives to the location of the car. You admitted to having been with the victim on the night that her death, but that she had, after they had left the first bar, you took her to a second bar where she got out of the car. Victim said that she knew some friends there, and then you left her there. And they said that you later changed the story and said that you had taken her to your apartment after you left the first bar, and that you guys engaged in sexual intercourse, and then you finally left her and took her back to the second bar. Then in a third statement, it said that you, police said that they were talking about taking you to jail, and the story changed and said that he again changed the story. At that time, he stated that you had taken the victim into the desert in a Reddington Pass area, the Reddington Pass area where you engaged in sexual intercourse in the car. Then you took her to the second bar and dropped her off. When the activities were completed, the police, your car that you had was subsequently been sold. You ran the police where the car was. Police found some hairs that were found in the trunk of the car. And they had some other evidence found in the car. They examined that evidence, had it examined, and the hair that was found in the trunk of the car was determined to be the hair of the victim. During the interview, the officers asked you about had the victim ever been in your car before, had she been in the trunk or anywhere around the back of the car, and at that time you told them no, and that she had never been around that part of the car, and she had never been in the trunk at that time. The officers determined you were being untruthful and placed you under arrest, sir. Is that about what occurred, or?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Mr. Garrison, why don't you tell me in your homework what occurred, what was going on in your mind during that period of time when this incident occurred, sir?
Excuse me. Could you repeat that, please?
Sir, can you tell me in your own words what was going through your mind about the time that this incident occurred, when this incident occurred?
Yes, sir. I can.
Okay.
On the night of the 22nd, to the 18 Hill Tavern, which there I met Verna Marie Martin. She came in, and we had a beer together. We decided to go dancing. We did. She passed out in the bar. I took her up. I carried her out. I had taken her in. As a matter of fact, I paid her way into the bar. And so I felt that it was my obligation to get her out of the bar. After I got her out of the bar, she came to in the car. And when we left, she seemed to be doing all right. And we decided to go for a ride. And did. And we had sex. Not against her will, but we did have sex, and she, at that point, in time, died prior, during that time. in which case I tried to cover that up. And the way that she was found, because she had died while we were having sex, I was scared to hell out of me. And I just, to be honest with you, at that point in time, I lost it. And my mind just, because I hadn't went out there to do anything wrong, but there was in my life. And at that point in time, I just didn't know what to do, and I did a lot of things that I'm sorry for, regretful of, and there's no way I can go back and change it, but that's what happened.
Okay, so you said that she died while you guys were having sex, or?
Yes.
Okay. I do want to acknowledge, sir, that you do have a release plan. There are some letters of support in here for you. There's also the classes that you've taken, and we refer to the classes that you've taken that look like you have the conflict resolution, reentry, building maintenance and repairs, certificate on pain constraint that you've taken several programs since you have been incarcerated. Is that about right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so also we have it here is a handwritten letter that you have prepared for the Board of Executive Clemency, sir. And it's handwritten, I believe it's by yourself, at least it says that we received a letter on October 16th of 2017 that we received the letter. And I just want to go over a couple things in here with you, sir. Do you recall writing that letter? Sir?
What was that, huh?
There's a letter that's attached in the file that you wrote to the Board of Executive Clemency explaining what had transpired and what you plan on doing in a release plan and the program
yep.
that you're taking.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says that on October 22nd in 1976, you were at the H&L Tavern. You went in there and you met the victim, and she had already been in there for a while. When you met there, you don't know. She was talking to other people. You don't know how much she had to drink. She had been drinking there with other people. So you don't know how much she had to drink. But while she was there with you, that she had four or five while she was with you, and that you had met her, like I said earlier, at the H&L Tavern. You went from there to the Alamo Tavern where you did some dancing. And there, and she had some drinks while you were at the Alamo Tavern. The Alamo Tavern, while she was coming off the dance floor, she fell and hit her head. She passed out on the tavern table. Then you carried her out to your car because you had took her and you paid her way to get into the tavern. So, Baxter, why didn't you say anything about her falling and hitting her head and passing out in the pre-sentence or prior to this incident occurring?
That's true.
Okay, so
I did like that.
Okay, so why this is the first time in any of the reports that it said that she fell and hit her head while coming off the dance floor. Why did you not tell anyone about that prior to this letter that you wrote?
Because I don't know that that had anything to do with it or not. And the police asked me, as a matter of fact, if in which case she did. To be honest with you, at the time they questioned me, I honestly believe within my heart that I was so scared and so shook up and so mixed up that it just didn't dawn on me that she had, in which case, fell and hit her head. There was other people there that saw her fall and tried to catch her fall because I was behind her, but they were in front of her. And she did fall, and she did hit her head, but...
Okay, so it also says that in the letter that you wrote, it says you went to... From there, you guys went and got 2 6 packs of beer, and then you went and a pack of cigarettes, and from there, you went to where you could park, and after... It just says after death, she was tied up. When you said you didn't know why. So what do you mean that after that she was tied up? Did you tie her up after that? Why did you do that?
I don't know. I think I would kind of lead it away from myself. I figured that somehow or another that the police wouldn't have figured I would have done anything like that. And that's why I did it.
Okay, well,
I realize now that it was stupid, but that's why I did it.
So according to the medical examiner's report, she died from the fixation, mainly from the fixation by her preserve being tied around her mouth, meaning that she wasn't able to breathe. So did you do that before or after you thought she had died?
I did that after I thought she had died.
Okay, so why do you think she died?
I have no idea. I know she drank a lot. I know she fell and hit her head. I know that she had been at the H&L bar, the Road and Run bar, before she met me, as I said in the letter. She had a lot to drink there, I imagine. I don't know that, I didn't see that, but I would imagine she was dancing there. And she was definitely kind of woozy there at the time that she was in the bar when she passed out. And I don't know if falling on her head had anything to do with it or not, but it's possible.
So,
but you're right, I didn't bring her out, I should have.
That's the first I heard in all the reports and pre-sentence report that we have. I would think that that would be something important. So, sir, why do you think she died? I mean, what was going on when she died?
She just went out. I mean, a lot of people say she would have died, she would have this, she would have that. She didn't do none of that. She just went. I didn't even realize she was gone. And I looked down and saw that something was wrong. I couldn't bring her out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I realized it. Well, in my mind, but she was gone.
So then what did you try to stage like? What did you do after that? You said you tied her up, but what did you do after you tied her up?
I drove her back to the back of the car, and I let her down over the small embankment there. And I split.
And then you said, why did you sell the car after that? Did you sell your car after that, sir?
Because I found a better car that I liked, that I wanted. It was a wagon. It was a station wagon.
And
I bought it because I wanted a wagon. And it was there. And it was at the right price. I didn't sell the car. I mean, I told the police that I sold the car. That's how I know I sold the car. Because I told them that I did sell the car. I wasn't trying to hide.
Okay, so when the police found the hair in your trunk, and the hair is matched the victim's hair, how did you explain that? It didn't really say how that was explained.
I don't know how to explain that. I would assume that the police thought that I had transported her there. Because as you read and as you said and everything, I did tell them that I went through different places before she went out there. But the fact is, I was trying to lead them away from my being there. And I regret that I lied about it. I did. I regret that. But in actuality, I went. That where she was found is where I went. I mean, I didn't have to transport her there. How the hair got in the trunk of the car is beyond me. I and my brother did clean that trunk, cut the trunk out. Not the night that she died, but later on when I sold the car. If there was hair in the car at that time, it could have fell off of us at that time. I mean, I don't know. I will answer that.
So is your statement at this time that you did not kill this victim?
tell you this, I would live here. And I did have sex with her. And she did die while I was there. And did I actually try to strangle her? Did I actually try to choke her? No. If having sex with her and everything else took her life, then I don't know how you look at that. I don't know how you'd say that. But yes, I was there at the time she died. Yes, I was.
Okay, so according to your release plan that you have, if you were to be paroled, do you have any family or anyone here still?
Well, I got two younger brothers out there, and I have them being looked for right now. Because one of them, he moved. I don't know where he went to. And the other one, he was living with some girl. I'm looking for him. I don't know where they're at. He was living with someone named Kay Countryman. And I don't know where he's at. He told me to write one address, and I never got an answer for him. So I'm trying to find out what the heck's up with that. But yeah, I got two brothers out there that I honestly believe will help me. I got a sister. I can't say I do what I believe I do. I'm trying to find out about that too. I did write my niece in Pennsylvania. And I haven't got an answer from that either. I was caught off guard. But I actually, to be honest with you, I thought that I had another month before I went before the board. I was working on a parole plan when they called me up and told me I was supposed to go to the board today. But I'm sorry about that. But anyways, yes, I got there's a place there, Desert Palms, in Tucson where I could reside if I was let go on parole today. And also, if you decided to let me go, I could go, probably go to Sackrack. But that, they tell me I'd have to be able to walk out here and walk into Sackrack. So, you know, it's never been brought to me, it's World War to let me do that, but I don't know. That's all I got right now at this point, place and time.
Do you have any money saved up, sir?
Not any to really claim, no.
Okay.
Right, so I got what I work for here.
Right,
and I'm working on trying to get an account started, but at this point, there's some time, no.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Garrison. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Garrison, can you hear me clearly?
What's that?
Can you hear me clearly?
I still didn't catch that, sir.
Mr. Garrison, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
A couple of questions. One is, at least the way I'm interpreting this, you're saying that the victim died during sex?
Yes, I am.
And how do you think she died?
Personally, I believe she followed her tongue. That's what I believe. Why? I don't know. I honestly believe she followed her tongue. And I believe that when you are drinking a lot, if you go chemistry-wise on this and you break it down, alcohol breaks down into ether. You drink so much, then she could have passed out and followed her tongue and nobody realized it. I didn't.
Okay, so my other question is that in your discipline history, you seem to have 3 sex violations, 2 for sexual assault and 1 for any sex act. Certainly that's not what we're deciding today, but this would suggest you have some sort of propensity for sexual violence, so what can you say about that?
I would say that I have heard about two other sex offenses that I had brought against me. I don't realize where they're from. I'm not saying that I'm ignorant, but what I am saying is they've never brought that up to me in DOC until after I started coming to the board. You know, it brought to me. However, let me explain this to you. This is what was explained to me. Is that if my looking at a woman this side or the other, even while working, but I'm scared them and they file that, I could have been charged with a sexual assault and never really taken to court on it. There would have been more of the incident report than a write-up, which therefore I really didn't have to know about it because they filed it on me. Now, this is the first time I ever heard of having three sexual assaults against me.
It was two sexual assaults and then one major violation for any sexual act.
The one that they're talking about in Buckeye, other people were trying to force me in to help them take her hostage, and I refused to do it. And when I got up and tried to talk to her, apparently I got too close without realizing it and touched her, and she filed that it was a sexual assault. In actuality, it wasn't, but it is what it is. And seeing as that they did file it on me, did they actually I touch her? Yeah, I probably did. I can't say I did, but it wasn't to the extent of what they said, but they did charge me with that, so yes, I would have to say I'm guilty of that one.
Okay, Mr. Garrison, I will say I'm not a psychologist or a counselor. I just find your answers very disassociative, like you're removing yourself from incidents, like the way it's described back to me as one voting board member, it always sounds like you're disassociating yourself from the act. And I'll just leave it at that, sir.
Okay, Mr. Garrison, going along that line, because your age report does show that that you made inappropriate comments to staff and that you actually stalked some staff.
To my knowledge, never stepped out what you call an assault or assault is that. They have told me that just if I was to raise my voice against a staff member, they can infer that would be an assault against that. And yes, I have it once or twice raised my voice against staff, so that they might have got the whole they put against staff. But as far as going out of my way and hitting on staff other than one time, which we just discussed, I have never done that.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
May I follow up with one of my colleagues here real quick?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Whitmore?
Yes,
I recognize that you have an extensive understanding of the correction system.
Sort of, yeah.
Can someone be charged of a violation inside the prison system and not know?
They're served, no.
They're served?
They're served with a write-up, yeah.
Thank you.
They have time frames to do that.
Okay.
So within, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, so Mr. Garrison, I made some notes on your Ames report, and there's one note in here that's from May of 1996. Says the sergeant over in the Ryman unit, SSU team, they have you listed as you would be considered a threat to female staff, to make sure that you're not placed in a work job that will pose a danger to any of the female staff. Why is that in there, sir?
What did it say again? Please bring it back by me, because that's the first time I've ever heard it. I want to make sure I'm hearing you right.
Okay, May 25th, 1996, Post Sergeant Hickenbaum of the Ryman Unit SSU team, Inmate Garrison,
number 37199 would be considered a threat to female staff. Make sure this inmate is not placed in a whip job that will pose any danger to any female staff.
May 25th?
1996 in the Ryan unit.
1996. I'm gonna have to try to remember that. I'm gonna look that up to check on that. You're the first one to ever tell me where that's coming from. I gotta check that out. I can't answer that clearly.
Okay.
And be honest about it, all right?
Well, that's...
Well, I will check that out. I assure you, I'm not. I was in the hole. And a couple of female looked right at me, but I never realized that they had piled anything like that on me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had anyone tell me anything like this before. So all the time that you've asked me that, I've not refused to answer in the aspect that I was trying to hide anything. I have not answered in the aspect that no one like yourself had read anything like that to me. So I didn't know where they were coming from. But obviously, I said, it don't exist. Because no one told me about this until just now. All right?
Yes, sir. I can understand that, sir. I do understand that. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Garrison, I have two questions for you, and they're on widely different subjects. The first one is just back to the crime itself, sir. And in addition to tying the victim up, you also, her body was found with some mutilations, specifically a bite to her breast and a burn to her nipple. Now, did you do that, sir?
There was no one else there, ma'am. I suppose I did, yes.
Okay, and can you tell me why?
Well, to be honest with you, people tell me that the burn mark was really bad. They never brought that out on me in court. Now, that's not saying a lot. It's just saying they never brought that out on me in court. And the fact being that a lot of people here are really bad. To me, I honestly believe within my heart that I somewhat remember that, and I think that it was done in order to try to bring her around, that the heat would trigger her and bring her out and wake her up. That is one of the reasons why I fell. And the bite marks, we were having sex, and I didn't realize that I had been there either. But I was drinking too.
Okay.
So that's the only way I can answer that. The burn marks, I really didn't do that in order to have a torture situation. There was no torture to it.
Okay, sir, thank you. The other one, and I said there are wildly different topics, you talk about in your release plan about some work with ministries?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I am an associate minister now. I am working to get through. I want to be ordained. That is my long-term goal. I have changed my life around. I've received Jesus Christ. Right now, if I could get them, I haven't come up with the money to do so yet, but with everything I've got right now, I've got 8 degrees. Two of them, as I said, I haven't been able to, I don't have to buy them, I earned them. They were given to me because of all the work that I've done in the prison and the knowledge that I've got behind that. But I don't have to pay for them, but I do have to pay for the staff of the school, and I haven't got the money to do that yet. But I do have 6 degrees.
And what are those in, sir? What degrees?
I have a doctorate degree, I have a graduate degree, I got a doctorate degree, associate's degree, bachelor's degree,
And would that be in Bible studies, sir?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Excuse me. Yes, ma'am.
That's fine.
That would be in Bible studies. Okay. I got 6 of them.
I'm just reading your role plan that you wrote out in longhand.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is mentioned here, Bachelor of Bible Studies.
Yes, I have I've got counselors, associates, bachelors. Let's see, there's one that goes in there, graduate.
Uh-huh, graduate of Bible Studies.
Yeah, anyway, I got 6 degrees.
Okay, so, all right, and do you intend to then, you said you want to become ordained, would it be your goal then to have a congregation, or how would you use that?
I'm studying to be ordained so that, yes, someday that perhaps maybe when I get out of here, I could possibly lead a church, yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Thank you. So, as we come to a conclusion, I just have a couple more questions for you. Now, according to the medical examiner, the victim had some antidepressant drugs known as Advil, which was found in various body fluids. Did you give her any pills, or do you know anyone put any pills in the drink, sir?
I don't know anything about the pills.
Okay.
I know that they said she had them. Well, I didn't go through the purse. I don't know what she had on. I don't know if she took any or not. I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. So the board is about to go into this discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to say to this board before we go into discussion, sir?
Yes, there is. I have been to county school, carpentry school, building maintenance. I've been to 6 years of college. To Christian college. I'm going to a college right now. At a Christian college. Christian college is the name of the college, matter of fact. I have 6 degrees. And I have 3 different business classes that I have studied at the time that I've been incarcerated. I've done the best I can in counseling. The board has always said I did nothing about criminal behavior. Well, I found out they had a book here on this yard in the library on criminal behavior. I checked it out. I read it. I also did sociology in the aspect of trying to learn how to associate with people. Furthermore, I have done the best that I can with the things that I've been given to improve my life. I'm no longer the person that I was when I came into this prison. I've made some mistakes in my life, yes I have, and one of them major, no doubt. I can't go back and change it. The only thing I can do is push forward and try to go forward. I have some family out there, some nieces and nephews that I would like to get to know. I'm talking about grand nieces and nephews, along with my nieces and nephews and their wives. And if given the chance to be out there again, I will do the best I can to make sure I never mess up again. I have a letter stating that I finished probation. I know that somehow or another it's been given to the parole board saying that I was denied that. However, I sent that letter home, so I can't produce it. I am trying to find out where my younger brother is so I can get a copy of that letter if need be and show that I did, in which case, finish probation when I was on it. But anyway, I've done the best I can to improve my life.
That's it.
Or I'll never be on probation or in prison again. Yet though I'm given a chance to re-enter society.
Okay. Mr. Garrison, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board is in discussion, Mr. Garrison, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. It may appear as though we're speaking with you, but we're going to be talking amongst ourselves, okay?
All right.
The board's now into discussion. Mr. Garrison does and has taken several classes and some programming since he's been incorporated, and he does have AA and some certificates that he's received from school, as well as programs that he's actually taken since he's been incarcerated. I do want to credit him for that, but I do want to also state that I just have a problem with Mr. Garrison and the inconsistencies in the stories that he told at the time he was first interviewed until the last time he was interviewed, and then this letter. At first he said that he had been with her, and then he said that he had picked her up at a bar, took her to a second bar, dropped her off. Then he changed the story and said he went to his house and then had sex and then dropped her off at a second bar. And then his last statement was that they went to a place and out in the desert or somewhere where they had sex, and he took her to the bar and dropped her off. But in reality, when the police did do the search, they did find the hairs and criminal evidence in his vehicle. In the trunk of the vehicle, he was arrested. According to the medical examiner, she died from asphyxiation from the brassiere that she had tied around her mouth, and the matter that it was tied around it caused her to asphyxiate and not breathe. And according to Mr. Garrison, his statement is that he was having sex with her and she passed out, and then he decided to tie her up so that to make it look like someone else did it, and he rolled her, pulled her out of the car and rolled her down the hill. I had some problem with that. That's his statement and his desire, but I just don't feel comfortable that based on the information we have and based on the information in the report, and having the opportunity to speak with Mr. Garrison and all of the inconsistencies in his stories, I just don't feel that he's should be moved, given absolute discharge on arrest of regular parole, and I'm not sure that if released, that he may reoffend if released back out into the community. So I'm not supportive, but I am willing to listen to my colleagues. That's right now.
Mr. Johnson, I agree. I do appreciate very much his program. I think that shows a very good mental, efforts on his part to be productive. But I agree with you. It's very inconsistent, the stories that we get, and I'm just not comfortable with releasing him on parole at this time.
Any other comments? Then no other comments on the board. But now I'm going to make a motion at this time. I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Garrison absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Renthouse, agreed by Mr. Quinones, agreed by Ms. Lanier. This incident happened in 1976, so he's not eligible for a one-year set-off. I'm going to mark the reason for denial, that it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm going to mark as a serious and deep offense since he was drugged out the car and rolled down a cliff and left there. Left there in the gully. I'm not going to mark poor institutional behavior or recent disciplinary because he hasn't had any since 2006. He has been doing some programming since he's been incarcerated. I'm going to mark a poor release plan, although he's taken quite a bit of program and done some things. He really doesn't have a release plan per se. So I'm going to mark poor release plan and no family or community support. Mr. Garrison?
Yes.
So the board is voted to deny you regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time. You will be certified by the Department of Corrections within 6 months or on or about 6 months from now to come back before this board for a parole hearing, sir. I do want to thank you, Mr. Garrison, for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir.
Sure.
Mr. Garrison, if you'd please give the hearing back to the CO3.